Hello there. Don't be alarmed. We're just preparing your listening device for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving. We do this, of course, by filling your radio with water. Don't worry. We're professionals. Thanks to me, you won't even get wet. You see, I've crammed every appendage of my body into the cracks and crevices of your radio, ensuring an airtight seal. By the way, don't touch your on-off knob. That's a very sensitive area. Anyway, I should remind you, we believe in the buddy system just like diving, so don't listen alone. Call your buddy and tell them that Scuba Radio is about to begin.
We're going to start a new life under the sea.
So, am I going to drown?
Of course not. Just stay calm and let the gentle currents relax your every muscle.
Under the sea. Under the sea.
Did it just get warmer?
There'll be no accusations, just friendly crustaceans under the sea.
Where the hell are the sharks?
And now, here's your dive guide for Scuba Radio, Greg the Dive Master.
And welcome. This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. CJ and Bubble Boy are in the studio with me. Boys?
Now, why does he call you the Dive Bastard?
I think you're hearing things.
It's with an M.
He says, now, here's your host, Greg the Dive Bastard.
No. Take the poo out of your ears.
Oh, I've got kelp in my ear.
That's what it is. It looks like poo to me.
I.
Okay, if this is the way it's going to start, yeah, you know it's only...
Here we go. And we're off.
All right, connected via the web, we got Barry DeBugger. Yes, indeedy, boy. We got a lot of lobster news to
Barry
talk about today.
Bugger.
So the bugger is with us. Also, Vinny Two Tanks from the left coast, he's chiming in. How
Vincent?
You doing, Vinny?
Good.
And Captain Walt DeMartini, who
hey,
could...
Hey, Gregster.
It is Walt. It is not Gomez yet.
It is. Now it's Walt.
Now it's Walt.
The captain we're making the captain proud today.
We are.
Yes, we are.
Now, how are we doing this?
Boosters.
Oh, that'll do it. Yes, Bubble Boy and CJ have already broken into the liquor cabinet.
Mrs. Dive Master,
Scuba Radio HQ. Yeah,
Mrs. Dive Master was tending the bar for us.
Really, she did that for you?
She dug down and pulled out like three monkey rum.
Yeah,
mermaid rum.
You're drinking my monkey rum?
I actually took your monkey rum, the toasted coconut,
and pushed.
That's not
so
fair.
I'm sorry, Greg, but we're gonna monkey this show up.
Yeah, okay. What do you mean toasted coconut? There's no toasted coconut.
Not anymore, there's not.
What?
It was a mini.
Oh, that one. Oh, I gotcha. Okay.
You're hidden in the back.
Yeah. All right. Well,
we found it, though.
That's fine. I'll be the sober one, at least for the next hour and 40 minutes. Last 20 minutes, it's anything goes. All right? So Scuba Radio Happy Hour, obviously in full effect this afternoon. And thanks for joining us. We got a lot to talk about. Of course, we got this hurricane flow that has stirred up things up there just north of us. Vinny asked me right before the show, says, man, are you guys okay? Have you been blown away?
Does he know where Florida is?
Well, I think so. But he's out on the left coast. I mean, it's like us not knowing what's going on in Southern California versus, up where, I don't know, where are you, Vinny? You're in Southern California. I guess it counts as Southern
California. I'm in
California. LA. Is LA, that's Southern California. I guess I'm thinking like Oakland, San Francisco, and stuff like that, I guess, you know? I don't know. It's geography. Who cares? Right? But I told
Clearly.
Him, I said, no, the weather of flow doesn't really affect us. However, it does affect us as divers.
The lobsters walk?
Well, yeah. Hello. I've been calling CJ all week. Last Saturday we got word that the lobsters are indeed walking. And to this moment in time, on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, or just after 3, I have just got reports that the lobsters are still out there in full effect. Now, the walking may have been... It is kind of broken from their conga line to more like they're kind of meandering, at the back of the bar. It's like a late night at a bar.
Lobsters are out there walking. That's just what they do.
Okay. One of these days,
a new song.
A lobster's going to walk right into you. You like?
Into your bag.
Okay. Well, there you go. But anyway, we get a full report on the lobsters walking. Now, Walt DeMartini and Barry are down there in South Florida. That's where we normally go. And I have some other people I'm going to talk to. Now, I gave them an assignment to find out if they were hearing anything about the lobsters walking down there as well. So, Barry, I go to you first. Have you heard anything? And why aren't you in the water now?
They are walking.
Yeah, you have heard that.
Sinus infection.
Ah, that's your excuse. You've heard they're walking from me or from anyone else?
I heard them walking from you. I heard them walking from Walt. A few other people have told me that they are out there walking.
Okay. What about that, Walt? And you were supposed to check into this as well, and you have some lobster hunting friends. Did you get a firsthand report from anyone yet or no? What do you think?
Not really.
Not really.
I contacted them yesterday, and when I told him they were marching, he was going to get his camera out and go film it. And he got down to the marina, and they had stolen two of the cowlings off his engines. So he didn't want to run the boat. And I tried to contact him just a little while ago. He hasn't gotten back to me yet.
Yeah.
So if his call comes in. So I don't know if he got to go out this morning or not.
Okay. All right. So you guys are still waiting to hear back whether or not.
So sinus infection and theft.
Okay. That's two excuses.
Well, you can't die. You can't die with a sinus infection. You can't clear ears.
No, I know.
Yeah,
That's totally valid.
I don't have a sinus infection, so
he has
I can't.
A science infection.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And geography infection.
Geography.
Science. Geography. Yeah.
Science. So anyway, we have some other people. Chiefy, our lobster guru, he's going to check in with us next. And he's going to give us a first-hand report. As a matter of fact, he's going out again tomorrow. He went out yesterday, and he said they are out there. So the question is, you know, has Flo, the hurricane, affected the lobsters down in Florida? Now, what started this walk was not Flo. It was not that hurricane. It was the low-pressure system that came through the southern part of Florida and then crossed over into the Gulf and became, you know, kind of a, I don't know if it got to hurricane strength. I think it did at one point, but by the time it went out to Texas or something, it was just a big tropical storm, kind of broke up a little bit. But that was like the first big system of the year for Florida. And it did, as I expected, triggered a lobster walk. And I was really tempted to get down there. I just couldn't work it out. I'm trying to work ahead right now over the next week or two because I got a little traveling up north to do here at the end of the month. So I couldn't sneak away and head down to South Florida to get the lobsters on tape, which is what I wanted to do. So it looks like I'm going to miss this window. But I wonder if there could be a second wave because of Flo. You know, because the winds from this thing have stretched way, way out from South Carolina. And you
it's not even windy here. Why would it be windy south of us?
Well, it's not necessarily
beautiful out right now.
Yeah, it's not necessarily the wind. It's the system. And I'm wondering, the lobsters, if they were walking north and then Flo comes in like, whoa, let's head back south.
Nah, I think it's too far north.
It's
too far.
It's wishful
thinking. It's based on pressure.
Yeah, okay, the low-pressure system, right? So, they would feel that pressure from Flo, and maybe they'd turn
not
around.
Not down here.
Well, what do you mean not down here? They're walking
not
north.
Down here.
They were walking north, Barry. The lobsters are walking north, and then
head east.
They'll head east, young man, you think? Yeah, they'll head into deeper water. Well, maybe, or maybe they'll say, well, you know, Florida was pretty nice. Maybe we'll just walk on back down this way. Or maybe the lobsters up there said, hey, I want to get the hell out of Dodge. I don't want to hang out here for Flo. I'm going to walk down to Florida. This is wishful thinking, of course, but I'm just saying it could happen.
Sinus infection, theft, travel,
you could tell yourself
insanity.
Anything you like.
The lobsters north get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, if you work your way
lobsters
up from
up
the Florida
north have
Keys.
Claws.
Oh, be quiet. Yeah. And you know what I'm saying, like if you get into, I don't know what the lobster diving is like in South Carolina off the coast there, but I can tell you that the record lobsters that I have heard are caught off of like Cape Canaveral, you know, in that neck of the woods, Jacksonville, If you go far enough offshore, you can catch monster lobsters. That's where these big 10-pounders and things like that,
like off of oil rigs,
are reported. No, they're not oil rigs. No, they got a reef out there. You got to go like 20 miles offshore and stuff. It's a bit of a haul. A
little bit.
Yeah, but there are some primo lobster sites out there, and it's kind of like that. If you go down the Florida Keys, I mean, generally the lobsters are smaller. And the theory I've heard is that the lobsters kind of start in the Keys. They get bigger and bigger and bigger as you go up the coast. So I don't know. Barry, have you heard this? Have you ever you've never heard them about why would they walk? They walk north generally from the south, don't they?
They stay in deeper water and they come to the shallow.
Oh, you guys, everybody stop. How many times have I told you I'm right even when I'm wrong? Come on. I have Chiefy back me up next. Stay close.
Bear up there.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Explore new places. Make new friends. Do cool things. With more than 70% of our planet covered in water, why limit your possibilities for happiness and enjoyment? Let the National Association of Underwater Instructors, NAUI, lead you in your quest for underwater exploration and entertainment. Visit a NAUI facility or locate a NAUI instructor near you at NAUI.org.
Come as a guest, leave as a friend. It's a philosophy that comes from the top down at Explore Ventures Liveaboards. It doesn't matter if you're traveling solo, with a buddy or group. Explore Ventures does the liveaboard dive experience right. For proof, know Explore Ventures has one of the best repeat customer stats in the dive industry. They're also the official liveaboard company of Scuba Radio. You've likely heard us talk about Explore Ventures Scuba Radio scuba cruise trips many times, and we invite you to join us on the next one. However, whether we're on board with you or not, I'll bet an Explore Ventures liveaboard trip will be one of the best dive experiences you've ever had. It just doesn't get any better. Save a St. Kitts, Turks and Caicos, the Galapagos, Maldives, Indonesia, humpback whales, and the Silver Banks. New destinations and itineraries are being added all the time. Call one of their talented travel consultants to find the Explore Ventures liveaboard experience that's just right for you. 1-800-322-3577. That's 1-800-322-3577. Or visit exploreventures.com. That's exploreventures.com.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
Surface interval is complete. You are now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
Don't you listen to the weather. We got a major storm here.
The moon went high and stars quit shining. Rain was driving thunder.
This is Just Plain Radio, Greg. Wait, no, it's not Just Plain Radio. This is Scuba Radio.
Take two.
Just Plain Radio was earlier today. I'll catch up by the end of the show, for sure. But no, this is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. Exactly.
Scuba.
And, and we're covering the hurricane a little bit. I mean, from a diver's perspective, which basically means, did it mess with our lobster walk? Which divers have been benefiting from for the last week, especially down in South Florida. We got Chiefy on the line. Chiefy, you've been out there milking this for every tail you can grab. Am I right? Come on.
Yeah, well, you know, come on. Why not?
Yes, as you should. You can get six a day, six lobster, right. Florida spiny lobster a day. And, yeah. You know, you're the man. I mean, you wrote the book on catching lobsters, and you go to chiefy.net. by the way, and order it right there, and all the links to how you can purchase the book and catch those Florida spiny lobsters are right there. But you've been going out almost every day since the lobster started walking over a week ago. Is that right?
Yeah, we had that little blowout come Labor Day, remember?
Yeah.
And kind of messed up for a couple days. And then that Thursday, I think, or Friday, we just started in with the walk. And they come in 7-10 feet of water, and they're lined up one behind the other. And nice. Here we get them where they're walking north. And it's pretty impressive to see 20, 30, 40 in a line, you know, just out in the sand.
That is amazing.
They're moving.
Yeah. Now, okay, so you're backing me up. They walk north. I just had this conversation with Barry DeBoder, and he's arguing with me. Everybody's saying I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm thinking, first of all, I predicted this walk would happen. And then I'm thinking Hurricane Flo, you know, as they're walking north and go, whoa, hey, hold on. I don't want to walk into that. And they turn around and come back and maybe they'll walk some more. What do you think?
Well, I can tell you they're still walking. You know, that's a good part. I had a buddy of mine I spoke to today, got six more right off the beach again.
Wow.
So that's the beauty of sunny South Florida. Now, on the walk here, they are walking north. That I do understand that in the Keys and in the Bahamas, they don't necessarily go north. I don't know which direction they go, but they go in a different direction. Mm-hmm. I know here, every walk that I've seen, they're going north.
Okay.
And I do believe it just is the kind of the way our topography is.
Right.
Underwater, I think it kind of narrows here. It's almost like a channel. And they have no choice but to go north. So it's a beautiful thing. I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
And
well, what do you think about that theory about
off the beach?
Yeah, but what if they're walking north and this hurricane flow comes through? Do you think there's any validity to the fact that maybe that might cause them to turn around and say, hey, you know, I kind of liked it down there in South Florida. Oh, I think I'll go back. You know?
No. You know, here's what I was thinking, that we were going to get some type of swell action. They had predicted 7-foot swells.
Right.
For today. And nada. I mean, it was 7 inches. There was nothing out there. Mm-hmm. It was flat.
Yeah.
So, you might be right, where they kind of go up to, say, Jupiter and go, oh, I don't want to go anymore.
Yeah, see, north, see.
You know?
No.
What do you mean, Barry? This is cheapy.
He just told you he's only seen them walk north. They're not making a U-turn and coming back.
Well, the storm just went through.
Is they actually end up, and that's kind of where I catch them in the 35-foot stuff.
Yeah.
I normally don't mess with them in shallow. I know some of the commercial guys have jumped in there because they've been easy pickings.
Okay.
But then they have to kind of play with the guys that are swimming off the beach. And literally you're 400 feet off the beach. And you're catching lobster, which is just incredible. It's a beautiful thing to do here in South Florida. I usually kind of catch them out there in that 35-foot stuff. We call it the second reef.
Mm-hmm.
It's the top of the second reef. And they are clustered together. That's the key, Greg. They're clustered together. So literally you'll come on a rock and it'll be 10 in one rock.
Nice.
And then you kind of sort through those, get the bigger ones. There's usually in the back, so you try not to disturb them too much.
Mm-hmm.
And you yank them out of there.
Now, you know what, Chief? We were talking about this last week, and I forgot to ask you when you brought that up on the air about the bigger ones being in back. So the reasoning is what, they're smarter? Or why are they in the back up under the reef, you figure?
It's sort of the way most fish are, even in schools. I've noticed, I've seen like kingfish or whatever underwater. The bigger guys are in the middle. They're kind of protected by the smaller guys.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I do think that that's sort of the same mentality. The bigger guys are better protected in the back, and the little guys are the scouts. So they've kind of put them out there. But yeah, most of the big ones, and that's what you want to do. You kind of don't go crazy. You see a bunch of them, just kind of look, and you'll see the big one or two in the back, and you kind of have to work it where you just push the little guys out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to disturb them too much because
don't want to spook them.
They're back inside, or you know, if they go ahead and if you get them, then I physically will move them to another hole, the smaller ones, to get them out of the way. because they always come back into the same hole, it seems, you know, and mess everything up. So I go ahead and just kind of work and grab my big ones that are in the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, at that point, you select the biggest one. And for some reason, when you're eyeballing them and it's maybe they're not big, maybe they're just, you know, then you know, just legal, then you know the others are too small. So you just move on.
Yeah.
So you see that, you know, with groupings, and they cluster together. So, I think that's just a survival of the fittest. You're the big guy, and, you know, you get to pick out your best spot. You know, I think that's kind of the way it is in the lobster world.
I'll tell you, when I'm diving with, like, CJ and Bubble Boy, I usually put them out in front because they are my sacrificial divers.
Well, yeah, you know how it works, right? You got to put your buddy between you and the shark, right? That's the way it works, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Greg, don't let fear run your life.
What are you talking about? Why would I do that? Why would I start now? Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
I know. I have no idea.
That's right. You put the men in front.
But I'll tell you, I do think, you know, maybe this hurricane flow could just maybe help prolong this walk even longer. I'm just hoping.
That part I do agree with.
There you go.
I kind of thought it would shut off. It's been over a week now.
Yeah.
And it's still going on.
Well, Barry the Bugger can suck it, is what I think is basically what we've proved right here. So there you go. All right. Well, go get your limit. You're not diving today, but you're planning to go hit it again tomorrow. Is that right?
I am. Right. Yep.
Well, thank you for the update, Chiefy. We appreciate it. Chiefy.net. Check it out. Get the book on catching lobster, and we'll be wishing the best, especially if you send us some. Send up a tail or two.
Anytime. Come on down.
Yeah. Notice he didn't say, yes, I'll do that. He just said, come on down. But that's I'll take him up on that offer eventually, too. All right, we got more coming up. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Scuba.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am Greg the Dive Master. Facebook Live going crazy today. Feel free to join us and look at me talking in front of a microphone and chat away with your fellow Scuba Radio listeners, like Jerry the Diver Guy, who's not connected with us via the web,
What's
but he is on the phone. And you're not at home today. You're out gallivanting in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Is that right?
That's right.
What are you doing there?
Pigeon Forge rod run.
The rod run, what does that mean?
Cars, hot rods.
Oh, good.
He's stalking.
It's hot rods.
I thought I was going to have to hit the dump button there for a second.
You know, that's my other passion.
Yes, you are.
Old cars.
He's a race car driver. Yeah, he's a motorcycle. You're a motocross guy, right? Is that it, or what?
Well, I used to race motorcycles.
Yeah, okay. So
those that for a long time.
Those count as hot rods.
But I love cars.
Okay, so that's going on this week, and you're there... you're not racing any cars, so I assume you're drinking some spring water. You got plenty of free samples there in Pigeon Forge, don't they?
Well, we may be sampling some.
Yeah, that's what I figured. But you're not driving, so you're okay, I'm guessing, right?
That's right.
There pussers!
I'm not driving.
It's not pussers. It's a moonshine.
No, that's what I'm drinking.
It's a flavored thing like blackberry.
I'm waiting on Flo to blow in.
Waiting on, is Flo affecting your weather? It is, actually, isn't it, up there? Am I right?
Yep. We're going to get the rain and a little bit of wind from it.
Yeah. And so you just
decided?
I told
her to kiss my grits.
And what did she say back?
She just blew me off.
Okay. Well, there you go. Fair enough. All right. So are you tempted to get out of Dodge and head south and go catch some lobster or what, dude? Come on.
Man, I just believe I want to sit here and ride it out.
You're going to ride the storm out. And then, but come on, you have to be tempted to want to come down to Florida right now and do some lobster hunting. Come on, I am, and I live here.
I would always like to come down and go lobster hunting.
Yeah, well, what are you waiting on?
But I just ain't going to put up with the traffic coming down.
Yeah. Okay, well, there's another excuse, I guess. All right, well, Jerry, have fun in Pigeon Forge. Tell Dolly we said hi, okay?
I'll do it. Y'all have fun.
All right, there you go. Jerry the Diver Guy. He's hanging out in Facebook Live if you want to chat with him, too. More coming up. Stay close.
This is the Worldwide Scuba Radio Network.
Greg. He's a scaly manfish.
He is Greg the Dive Master.
What you doing in my waters?
The show is a disaster.
I got something to show you.
He's Greg the Dive Master.
Hi there.
Master. Dive Master. Dive Master. Dive Master.
Oh. I'm old Greg. Pleased to meet you.
I'm Nart. Hello, fishies.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving. I am not talking to fish right now, I swear. That is not me. That might be Jerry the Diver Guy and Pigeon Forge. That's very possible that he would start talking to fish even when he's not in the ocean. You hear what I'm saying? It's those free samples they give out at the moonshine places.
Happens all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of a unique thing, and God bless them for it.
Is it a fish, or is it a large flying bug?
Sometimes
tough to tell.
Well, they do call them the cockroaches of the sea, these lobsters.
Nice.
You know, they
nice
do.
Nice
tie-in. Yeah.
News report from Walt coming in.
Oh, yeah, what do we got? Hey. What's going on, Captain Walt? Yeah?
100 yards off Dania Beach, south of the pier.
Yeah.
Into 15 feet of water.
Oh.
No bugs.
No bugs.
No bugs. Zero.
Okay. So he
it's
just
like
went
we're
out
there.
What do you mean it's like we're there?
That's what happens when we go shallow.
Nothing.
No bugs.
Good point. Yeah.
Sorry, 100 yards off the beach, 10 to 15 feet of water south of the pier.
Well, maybe, see, they've walked north of the pier already. See? Is my guess. They've probably already walked. You know, it's been going on for a week, so it's going to be hit or miss. You're going to have problems.
So there's none south that are just passing through. Is that,
no,
is that
there, well, there could be, well,
they
you know, you got to hit it.
Serve them they won't serve them in Hialeah.
They won't serve what? What do you mean?
Unless you speak Spanish.
Unless you speak Spanish.
That's just not right.
Se habla.
That's not appropriate, boys.
Por favor, mi amigo.
But I'm telling you, you know, I mean, just because you go out to one spot and don't see them doesn't mean they're not walking. I mean, they're in groups of like 20 to 30, so you got to kind of hit them on the right spot, you know? So evidently at that spot at Dania Pier, they're not hanging at the moment. But that doesn't mean they're not out there. So buried a bugger, are you tempted to clean up your nostrils and head out to dive or what?
I'd like to head out and dive, but get one of those, I haven't been clear to go yet.
Well, get one of those neti pot things and fill your nostrils full of salt water and then blow it out your, well,
blow it out my ears, right?
Yeah, something like that.
As
yeah.
a wise something man like once said, a chartreuse and umber mass of gluey fluid.
Bleh. Yeah.
You know that the day that I go out, they'll be gone.
Well, of course, but I'd rather that be you than me. And if you get lucky, you know, you might get out there and catch them, and then you could send your bounty back up to us in Orlando here. See? That's what
I knew
a friend would do.
Were.
Yeah. All right. Well, lobsters are happening. The other thing going on this week, there's actually a lionfish derby that Casey the Tobacco Nut has been working on, and we're going to try to connect with him. He literally, I believe he's out on the boat as we speak. I'm not sure if we're going to be able to get him on the phone today or not, but we're going to try and see how the lionfish derby is going down in Key Largo today. You know, you kind of wonder because, you know, the thing is, could the storm affect the lionfish, good or bad? I don't know.
They don't seem to care about anything.
Maybe not. Casey, are you with us? Come in, Casey.
I'm with you, Greg.
There he is. We do got
Hello.
Him. Are you on the boat right now or what, Casey? What's going on?
I'm on the boat right now. We're just pulling back into the slip.
Yeah, so how'd you do? You went out there to catch lionfish. Did you, like, get hundreds?
Oh, we killed a few of them.
You killed a few?
You know, my newest diver, Hunter, it was his first open water ocean dive. He's 14. He just got certified out at Seminole Scuba. And
excellent.
He killed a few, and my old dive buddy, you know, Ken killed a few, and I killed a few.
Okay.
So,
all right, cool.
Now we're heading back into port for cool refreshments.
Cool refreshments. And then is the weigh-in today, or is it tomorrow?
What? Weigh-in is tomorrow. Starts at 10, and I think it runs till 1. This year they're going to have, I guess, some different chefs doing various recipes with lionfish.
Very
not
nice.
Just ceviche, but cooking it, frying it, grilling it. You name it, they've got half a dozen chefs preparing it.
Excellent. Now, you were diving in Penny Camp Park. Is that right or no?
Yeah, we were in Penny Camp Park. We were down, we hit Molasses Reef early this morning, and then we went a little further north and hit a couple other little patch areas that weren't necessarily named.
Right.
You know, because down here, the regular divers go out to those places all the time, and they kill them on site.
So well, I was going to say.
Patches that were...
Yeah, you got to get
just
off the beaten path. You know, like Molasses Reef, where all the divers go down there in the Keys, there's probably not a whole lot of lionfish there because, like you said, the
no, we didn't see any, as a matter of fact, which is a good thing.
Yeah, but when you went out to the less frequented places, that's where you produced a few and snagged some?
Yep, that produced a few of them, probably half a dozen on each spot. We split up some two-tank dives and dove a couple half-tanks.
So you're diving off your own little private boat there, right? Yeah. You're diving off your own boat.
It was beautiful. We had about 30, 40-foot visibility.
Got it. What about, yeah, Casey, how are you doing it? Are you using like a lionfish spear gun thing or what?
You still there?
I'm here. Can you hear me now?
Come in, over.
I hear the wind. That's Flo. That's a remnants of Flo.
I've lost you, Greg.
You lost
I'll
me.
I'll call you back. I'm docking the boat.
Okay, dock the boat. He needs to do more important stuff than talk to us right now. We don't want him to crash his vessel. That would be radio gold. Let's be real.
Yeah, I mean that would be funny.
But yeah, I don't really want him to mess up his boat. Now, what I was trying to ask him is, what is his technique on lionfish? Like, do you use one of those lionfish mini spear guns or? I don't know. What do they call those things in the dive shop down there? Lionfish? I
mean, they're like Hawaiian slings. They're
right.
Just a spear
small.
With a rubber band on the back of it. But they're short. They're small.
Yeah.
They're specifically for lionfish.
Right. But I don't know if they call them lionfish Hawaiian slings. I thought they had a name for them or something. Lionfish tamer.
No, I have one. I've never noticed any strange name on
Maybe
it.
Maybe it's lionfish tamer. Does that sound right? That seems like that
no.
was... Oh.
I don't know if you would tame them.
Well,
more
like
lionfish assassinator.
The assassin. Yeah, that would be pretty
How'd you
good.
Like to be mutilated?
The lionfish mutilator.
How'd you like to be mutilated?
Yeah. But
the problem is what do you stuff them in? I see they use these big PVC tubes.
There's Let me tell you something. Yeah. I saw something that was very resourceful happening in Dominica when it comes to lionfish. Now, one of my favorite lionfish hunters is a guy named Simon Walsh, over in the island of Dominica. And last year, they got whacked by the hurricane really bad. And so they have very few resources available to them right now, including, you know, like those zookeeper things, those big tubes, PVC tubes that you see most serious lionfish catchers use. They spear the lionfish, and they stick it in this tube, and it has a little flange on the front of it, and then they go and catch the next thing and load this thing up with like 30, 40 lionfish.
You could take that to the bank at your local drive-thru and go, surprise!
You could do that. I wouldn't recommend it.
Shoot that through the vacuum tubes.
But being that they got whacked by this
Monday.
Hurricane last year and everything got blown away, including his lionfish tamer, he improvised. And he took a 6-gallon bucket that you'd get like at Lowe's or Home Depot, and got one with a lid and literally cut a you know, like a star flange in the top of the lid and drilled holes in the bottom of the bucket so water could, you know, circulate through it, and basically, you know, use the handle of the bucket to attach to his BC.
Brilliant.
As a lionfish zookeeper. Now, in girth, it's much bigger in girth than your typical zookeeper. But I was like, you know, hey, that works pretty good. May not be the most streamlined option that you would have available. But, hey, if you're in a pinch, you wanted to create your own zookeeper, I'm thinking getting a 6-pound, you know, 6-gallon bucket, poking some holes in it and stuff like that. That would be pretty effective. What do you think,
Barry? That's a very good idea.
Yeah. Are you going to go? You have a spare bucket laying around there, Barry? I think we got it.
Go to Lowe's or Home Depot, just get a 5-gallon paint bucket with a top. That's easy.
Or go to Firehouse Subs. I think they sell them too.
They sell them. Yeah, they're old pickle buckets, but right. I don't know if they have tops to them.
Well, true. You got to have a top to be able to cut that flange in it. Because if you don't have a top, then when you stuff the lionfish in it, they will come out, and that would be bad. And they might be vengeful. And you know, they have those stingers on them. You don't want that. But I don't know. Maybe you could even stretch something over it,
like some sort of membrane.
Yeah, but I don't know. That they'd probably be able to.
Maybe a shower cap.
You think they would have a little file and they would find their way out of the jail there?
Yeah, don't send them any birthday cakes. All right, more coming up.
Scuba Radio.
Would you like to talk diving? Greg the Dive Master's all toweled down and ready to take your call now. Call Scuba Radio at 1-888-88-SCUBA.
There's been some articles on the web lately about how certain chemicals and sunscreens are bad for you, the environment, and are killing coral. A lot of it is overhyped marketing propaganda. Just know Reef Safe Sunscreen by Tropical Seas has been independently tested and scientifically proven to protect you from the sun and not harm ocean inhabitants or the reefs. Since 1995, over $500,000 has been spent in testing to prove what it says it is, Reef Safe. Can other sun care companies claim this level of commitment to back up their claims? Not likely. For Reef Safe, it's not about the ingredients as much as how they work together to create a waterproof sunscreen molecule that forms a breathable film on your skin. Plus, Reef Safe biodegrades before creating issues for marine life and the coral we all want to enjoy and protect. So don't be fooled by unscrupulous marketing claims. Go with the original, Reef Safe. Ask for Reef Safe Sun Care at your dive retailer, or for more info, go to reefsafesun.com.
Obviously, we have it pretty good here at Scuba Radio, but why let us have all the fun? Dive into scubaradio.com and allow us to share the joy. It's all there, from cool monthly giveaways to info on how you can join us on our next big dive adventure or Scuba Radio broadcast. Click on the Shop tab for special Scuba Radio pricing on Scuba Radio hats, jackets, shirts, and an assortment of unique items you won't find anywhere else. You can even get info on how to take scuba classes from a real live mermaid. So dive in now at scubaradio.com.
Traffic sucks, unless you're scuba diving with Mike Scott.
Mike glanced down at his dive computer. It showed less than 50 PSI left in his tank. Probably just a few more breaths.
Or riding shotgun in a thrilling car chase.
One bullet hit the Jeep's windshield, spiderwebbing the passenger side. Mike shifted into second gear and felt the Jeep leap forward. This just got serious.
Escape your commute with audiobooks from author Eric Douglas. Download to your phone. Go to booksbyeric.com or audible.com.
Surface interval is complete. You're now clear to dive with Scuba Radio.
Scuba Radio.
The world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Scuba Radio.
Dive, dive, dive.
I like to go deep. So one time I went very, 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 very deep with the computer and everything.
Water. 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 Water.
This is the world's first radio show devoted to diving in water. Because usually, yeah, you have to do that.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, just, you know, that's what we're here for on the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
But what you should know.
Okay. Look, CJ and Bubble Boy are with me here in the studio. Barry DeBoder, Vinny Two Tanks and Captain Walt connected via the web. We are going to check in with the dive god, Neil Watson. He's over in the Cayman Islands with a lot of diving dignitaries this week because it's the Diving Hall of Fame, event going on. And Stephen Frank from Alert Diver Magazine is getting the getting inducted this weekend. And
I saw a picture on Facebook with the dive god with his buddy Captain Slate, and Captain Slate was wearing a tux.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
Yeah,
I mean,
cool.
they dress up for this thing. So that's going on in the Caymans this weekend, and we're going to check in with them in an hour or two. Also, Dr. Doug Ebersole is doing a rebreather class down in South Florida. He's been scoping out the lobster. He's threatening to join us as well. But I got a interesting little story for the gallery to comment on. What makes fish intelligent? What do you think? CJ, you got a guess? I mean, you know, like dolphins. You know, they think they're the most
dolphins are mammals.
Okay, well, true. Yeah, but what? Why? At what point?
The question is really should be what makes a human intelligent.
Well, we're going to get to that, especially with this crew. Evidently, there's some new research showing that some fish have become self-aware, and they do this with a mirror. And the idea is like, if you put a mirror in front of a fish or in front of anything, if they see themselves in it and realize that's them, they're self-aware, and that makes them, like, intelligent. Unlike,
you didn't give us a chance to answer. You just gave out the answer.
Well, okay. So
Barry, pipe down.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
So, like, and one of the things you do, like when I'm in the Turks and Caicos on the liveaboard that I'll be doing in December 8th for the Scuba Radio Scuba Cruise, one of the fun things we like to do is take the jawfish, and they'll take a mirror down with them, and they'll put the jawfish down there in front of them. They'll be sticking up out of the water, out of their little hole in the sand, and they'll see the mirror, and they'll think it's another jawfish, and then they'll start like, hey, what are you doing here? This is my hole. Get out of here. They'll start arguing with them.
There's a little bit of a precedent there. Doesn't the surface of the water, from a fish's perspective during certain hours and certain sunlight, appear as though it were a mirror to the fish? So they might be used to it.
Okay. The scientists say no.
What do they know?
This is the test. Supposedly, if you put a mirror in front of a fish and it realizes that's me, then they have some form of higher intelligence. Like, say, for instance, if we put a mirror in front of Bubble Boy.
Right.
I mean, he sits there and, like, argues with himself for hours. It's very entertaining to watch.
What he does is he says, that's my evil twin.
Yeah. And, you know, but that's a whole nother thing. But they found that this cleaner wrasse, this small little dinky fish, has actually identified itself in a mirror. So they're saying this new cleaner wrasse, fish, is self-aware. Unlike those jawfish that I'm talking about when I see in the Caribbean.
Stupid jawfish.
Yeah. But I don't know. Barry the Boater, you have any, or Bugger, I guess?
You said when Bubble Boy looks in the mirror, he argues with himself, which would indicate that he is not self-aware. He's arguing whether he thinks is another person.
Thank you.
Wow. Who is this Bubble Boy you guys keep talking about?
Clarifying.
Crystallized it.
He's in the mirror.
Do I think they're self-aware? I think mammals, or at least porpoises, are self-aware.
What's the porpoise of that? Okay. So
I think they're very intelligent. Has nothing to do with this.
What does it have nothing to do with it?
Schooling, nothing to do with it.
Schooling. The schooling of fish, maybe. I don't know. But so what do you think there, Barry? Do you think that's a valid test? Do you I mean, just because you can recognize that is you in the mirror, does that make you smarter than the average Bubble Boy or what?
Well, are they really recognizing that it's them, or are they just saying, I've had enough of trying to steer you down and I'm going to just go away?
Well, they did a study on this cleaner wrasse and realized that the fish was realizing it was itself. So I don't know how they did this or what protocols they used, but they realized that the fish was self-aware in that it recognized that was me. So I don't know. Maybe I was doing some changes, like, you know, picking up a rock. I'm like, how do I look with a rock in my mouth? Nah, I don't like that. What about two? Yeah, I look pretty good. Pretty good. I think I'll go with this look.
The only critters I know that might have been self-aware but will never know were sea monkeys.
Hmm. Yeah, it's always about the sea monkeys, isn't it? Yes. Well, I don't know. I mean, I just wonder if you look at a cleaner wrasse now, that you'll look at this fish differently because you'll know that it's self-aware.
Maybe the fact that it wasn't attacking, maybe it's just really non-aggressive. Maybe it doesn't know that that's them.
What are you doing putting logic into the conversation?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jeez. Man. Anyway, obviously none of us
are
self-aware.
Thank God, show's over.
No, we got another hour.
See you next week.
We got another hour on deck. Just look at the mirror and entertain you for the next few minutes, and we'll be back with more nonsense. Stay close to the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Each little snail here know how to whale here. That's why it's hot under the water. Yeah, we in luck here. Now get in luck here under the sea.
Scuba Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
Scuba Radio.
This seems the logical place for fish to congregate.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past editions of Scuba Radio worldwide over the internet at scubaradio.com.
So we're in international waters?
Indeed so.
Tell a friend and buddy up with your radio every week for Scuba Radio, the world's first radio show devoted to diving.
Well, it's all very nice here, but we should be going. I miss me wife and me oxygen.
Yes, we all miss our loved ones and gases. Let's go.
The opinions you just heard on Scuba Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
Okay, you know what I just heard? Blah, 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 blah.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
Come on, quit yanking me.
Scuba diving does involve risk and should never be conducted without proper instruction and training.
Oh, what's the worst thing that could happen?
I could die.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at scubaradio.com.